The producers.
Let's just talk about your studio. What do you have in your studio, and what do you like to use most of your equipment? So maybe start with your DAW. Are you a Mac guy, a PC guy,
etc.? Mac, definitely Mac. I was PC for a long time, but I can't afford Mac before. Now, finally, you know, it's like I get my Mac Pro and full loaded, and I love it. So I'm definitely Mac guy. It's very reliable, and that's the stuff. So Mac is my main as a hardware, and my digital workstation is Cubase.
Oh, so you do you do everything on Cubase?
Yes.
What did you ever use Pro Tools? Did you ever use Cool Edit? I don't know. Did you ever use anything else? And did you make the switch, or have you just been on Cubase since they started?
I've been on Cubase since from the beginning. I think that was my first MIDI experience was in Cakewalk Sonar, but I was always on Cubase.
And tell me why.
Why? First of all, you know, I'm a huge fan of all VST plugins and VST instruments, and Steinberg invent VST.
Right.
It means they will be always ahead with VST stuff to any other things. And I have a chance working on the Pro Tools with Cubase, and it's and I hate it. It's always something was not right with VST stuff. Always have to use some kind of wrapper or reconnect or get new updates.
No, that's true. Why do you like VST plugins so much more than non-VST? You know, what are you getting out of VST plugins that you can't get elsewhere?
You know, probably not much different. I'm just so used to them, and there's so many of them, and they come in almost like every day. And it's very, very stable.
Like what kinds? Like synth plugins or like compressors?
Oh, yeah,
or
definitely
EQs?
Definitely samplers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Synthesizers. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you have a few that stand out in your mind as being your favorite VST plugins?
No, you have to ask me, because for me, probably, I'm going to talk about VST instruments or...
Yeah, I'm sorry, instruments.
So
yes,
VST, that, my main thing is Kontakt sampler.
Kontakt by...
By Native Instruments. I have the whole bundle complete. I have the core player, and I just absolutely love it. If you really dig inside the reactor over there or Kontakt, what you can do, it's
great. What do they have one called Absinthe?
Is that- yeah. It's one of the synthesizer. Yeah, I do. I have Absinthe too.
Do you like that one?
Yep. I got to say, you know what I mean? I used Absinthe too, but he's not the only one, you know?
Yeah.
I would say probably my favorite synth VST right now, there will be Massive.
Okay.
Massive. It's
why is that your favorite?
I don't know. It just get like the crunchy, rusty sound. Like it's like nasty, brutal. You know what I mean? Like straight in your face. Like it's basically it's come from like me, like guy, kind of like with the like brutal, bad sounds, and I just love it.
So I want to actually ask you a lot more about creating beats as well, but let's just start here. So we've determined that you like Cubase mainly because of the VST plugins and or instruments.
Yeah, and you know the hardware, Steinberg, you know, Steinberg, who owned Cubase, creating Cubase, was purchased by Yamaha. And since when they've been purchased with Yamaha, they released amazing hardware, you know, what's compatible with Cubase with all the controllers. So even if I'm doing video post-production or audio, I can work in Nuendo and Cubase and everything just fly. I never have problem with any updates with anything. It's very, very reliable to me.
Here's a dumb question, but that's not just a Mac product, is it? Isn't that both? Is that PC and Mac?
Yeah, it's Mac and PC, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Is it Logic is the one that's just Mac, right?
Yes, Logic is only for Mac.
I've been so used to Pro Tools, I just don't pay any attention to other. Like I tried out Reaper.
You know what?
They're
all good. You know what I mean? It's like I really don't care what you're using. You know what I care is the final product and the end. And if it sounds good, it sounds good.
So I want to get into a little bit more detail on how you produce something. So you have a sound in your head. You're going to produce some sort of a beat bed here, or, you know, whatever. But you have a great synth sound or a noise that you found in Massive that you love. What do you do? You know, obviously you don't just lay that in by itself and put some drum kicks.
No.
Yeah. What do you do to it?
Okay. First of all, you got to start with the foundation. So foundation to the good, bad or good music groove, it's actually the groove. You know what I mean? So when I'm playing in the V-drum or program my keys, you know what I mean? I'm starting usually with the tempo and try get the groove when I'm going to start bouncing in the chair. If I'm not bouncing, if my ass is not moving in the chair, it's not going to working. The people is not going to move who's in the car, who listen. The production guy is not going to dig this thing. It's just a completely waste time. You know what I mean?
Real quick, what are your favorite tools to start with then? So you're going to start with your groove. Like, what are your favorite tools to start creating beats with?
Beats, you know, you should basically open my Kontakt sampler. Oh, battery, or most of them Kontakt, because I set my favorite like presets of the drums when I have my kicks, bass, drums, and snares. And I'm starting with the kick and snare. Okay. Then starting adding like shakers or hi-hats or some kind of weird percussion and trying spice them up and trying generate the right feel, you know?
Are you actually painting kind of your beats into the piano roll like that, you know?
Or No. I'm drummer, you know what I mean? I have full V-drum and studio, all MIDI pads, controllers. So actually I can pay them. I can play them by feeling them right away. I know what's feeling me, so...
But then you record them in via MIDI.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Then you record MIDI because, you know, we're human, then I'm using Quantize.
You quantize them, yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds perfect in the money. Soon, you know what I mean, when you have the solid groove, you have to lock the bass. And when you lock the bass on top, you know, it's basically you feel like everything is tight. Be honest with you, after no matter what you're going to throw on top, when the foundation is strong, everything is going to go out.
Tell me, before we get into adding in some more sounds, so you got your great groove, you've got your beats set and you like it, it makes your ass bounce, but what do you do, because I know you and others that make great bed music and just great beats, they hit so hard, they're never overmodulated, you know, they're never distorted, but they hit so hard. What are you doing to your drums to make them hit so hard and sound good?
So, you know, it's all coming, you know what I mean, from the level how you're going to set your compression and limiters when you're starting programming and recording, and make sure, you know what I mean, you're watching your levels. It's very important, and it's very important which instrument you're going to choose too, because between bass drum and the bass, if the sound frequency will be too similar, you know, the bass become kind of muddy and the bass is starting killing the sound of the bass drum. Mm-hmm. So you have to make the bass drum kind of like a clicky, punching out, cutting through this thing. And a snare drum too, so make sure when you're hitting the note and the bass drum, you know what I mean? You think a little bit less, you play softer bass. So you hear this thing, or when you hit snare drum, you can use like little softer note and the snare drum. So basically, a lot of times I'm using trick, it's called ducking, when the compression is triggering... When the drums is triggering compression, what's going on the track or on the track of the bass?
Yeah, is that similar to using that key input on some plugins? Do they have that on Cubase?
Yeah, they have this on Cubase, but I don't know how other things. But it's great because the moment when I kick the bass drum, the compressor is pumping the bass drum, but cutting off the frequency, cutting down the bass, or cutting out bass or some other instruments, whatever will be feel it's interfere with the drums.
You hear that effect a lot in dance music more than other forms of music, where it's that pumping sound.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, what kind of compressors are you using? You know, do you like Waves products or Cubase products?
No, actually, I love PSP AudioWare.
Okay.
I love them. You know what I mean? Waves are cool, but there are so many of them, and people just getting lost. You know what I mean? They really don't know what to buy. They have like 10 different compressors, like 5 different limiters, so many different EQ, and they try rewrapping in different bundles. And it's really hard to find something, you know. I'm a big fan of simplified things. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm using all my PSP AudioWare plugins. And
that includes your EQs?
Oh, everything, you know what I mean? And I'm using them exclusively, and they're doing everything. So everything, even what you hear right now on the demo of the Dayfox signature, everything is bass and go through the mastering things, you know, from PSP AudioWare.
And let's say, I don't know if we have a way to do that, but something like just that, I don't even know, one of those beds, I did want to bring up Stutter Edit here in a minute as well, but how many different plugins would you say, just one bed for the Dayfox signature, you just take one theme, one bed music, you know, when you're actually tracking the music, how many different plugins are you utilizing at the same time?
Oh, you know what? First of all, when I'm doing MIDI, it's a one part. But then I'm exporting MIDI files to the audio tracks.
Okay.
Because MIDI plugins, you know, they're cool, but you can do crazy stuff what you can do with the audio stuff. Okay. So I'm exporting each individual track to the audio, and I usually have like 10 or 15 sometimes tracks of audio. And I have kind of like my typical presets, you know, assigned to the each of the individual track, like bass drum, it's okay, music like bass drum compression, snare mm-hmm. compression, hi-hats, percussion, you know, like pumpy bass, you know what I mean, or synths. So each of them some kind of compression and the reverb, what I'm adding, and special effects in the end.
Okay, so I've heard other guys say they do it that way, probably to save resources, but you don't continue to mix the track with your MIDI tracks there. You'll basically bounce down each MIDI track to its own stereo audio track.
Yes.
Then you'll recreate the session using those tracks and then keep tweaking.
Yeah, that's really not hard because when you export them, you know, I just select all, you know what I mean? And each of the MIDI channel, it's automatically import as an individual waveform. And when I just going to open under, I see every single waveform of the file, what I was doing. And be honest with you, it's actually the CPU processor. It's taking less processor because the processor now have to process all the VST sounds.
Yeah, right. The VST instrument plugs on top of the filters. And the. So in Cubase, in Pro Tools, it would be called bouncing it down, bounce to disk. When you're mixing it down, whatever you're doing, it's not real time. You can just say mix down tracks 1 through 7 and create audio files.
Yeah,
and
just export audio, click, and I just choose the format, you know, the resolution what I want. And
it's a humongous complaint people have about Pro Tools. They always have. I mean, the idea is that you keep the quality at its utmost level by doing it in real time. But a lot of people just hate the fact that you have to bounce in real time in Pro Tools.
Yeah. Oh, no. This one, listen, one of the great things in Cubase, what Cubase have, I can produce the whole session and in the one piece of audio imaging, I just going to get at reverb, like delay, some EQ, compression, special effects. Month later, and even when I'm going to mix everything, when I'm going to open the session, I come back to the track history. I'm going to just click on the one single file and go to the track history, and I can undo or I can change just the one single effect what under all these other effects what I already add.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to help. Now,
it's really, really helpful.
Yeah, this actually leads me to another thing I wanted to bring up. I've had people ask, organization. So, like we've established, you're producing thousands and thousands of different cuts and different types of elements for your service. You have a session that you will make, let's say, 10 or 20 beds on, or does each bed have its own session? Do you always do a new session for everything you're doing?
Always.
Always.
I hate to repeat myself.
Okay. So how do you keep everything organized? Do you have a numbering / naming system in your head? Is it just like, you know what I'm saying? How do you organize everything so you remember what to go back to?
Yeah, it's, you know what, it depends which format I'm working right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's all come again to DayFax. Example, like when I start working on DayFax signature, it's the whole process was starting with training my ear. So like, besides like talking a lot to Dave when I was really, really like getting into starting producing stuff, I train my ear basically by listen all the top 40 CHR stuff. There was nothing else. No rock music, nothing. No country, no folk, you name it. Just a mm-hmm. pop, dance stuff. Whatever is trendy, whatever it's go in the air, study the Z100 playlist and analyze the songs. Not only analyze the songs. I was going and analyze, you know, who's producing these tracks. Go after the producers. Study the history. Study who they're endorsing, which instruments they're using. Try and find like behind scenes about them. Spend time in the YouTube learning. And then I was starting to organize my palettes of my sounds based of my research. And I organize everything. This is how I organize everything. I don't know if this answers your question.
Well, I guess it answers some of it. More even simpler than that, though. You know, I know the theory behind what you're doing, but literally, you produce a bed. I don't know, in March.
Yeah.
And you like it. Okay, well, now it's months down the road, and you think to yourself, all right, I need the framework of that bed because I want to redesign it for this, this, and that. How do you know what, you know, to go back, you know, how do you have all your stuff categorized and organized where you can instantly go back and say, okay, there's the session, you know, because it's
no,
one thing to...
No, you know what? Be honest with you, I'm not even sending this session because when it's done, it's done. And I know so well my library, my sound palette's library. I know where is everything. So when I hear the sound, you know, and stuff, I know what I was using.
So once it's
done,
and
then the second
thing,
I really don't want to come back and reproduce something what I already produced. Long as I'm going to feel, you know what I mean, that the feel of the bed, the groove, I can use new, fresher sounds, you know what I mean, even spice up and refresh this thing.
That's surprising to me. I guess I would assume that you would keep every session you've ever done and you would like to be able to go back and see how you did something. You know, like if you got a specific sound and you, maybe it's just because I'm not as talented as you, but sometimes I forget how I made something sound the way it sounded. So I want to go open up that session again, look at it and say,
no,
oh, yeah,
you know
that's-
what? I think so. This is the part, you know what I mean? Like when you become creative and you're starting learning stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like every day it's a learning experience.
We heard the Dave Fox signature demo at the very beginning. We've talked about it a little bit. This seems to be a pretty significant evolution for the Trinity HD effects and also for radio imaging sound design in general. Did you have that in your mind? What did you have in your mind besides the fact that you've been learning from Dave over the years and you wanted to apply some of his thoughts? But what did you have in mind while producing this?
I know I want to make something special. And I talked to Dave about this for a long time. You know what I mean? We met so many times. And this is kind of like my saying thank you to Dave for all his inspirations and be mentor to me for everything he did, for all his support. Say thank you to him and make something, you know what I mean? What people will be like, wow, this is really cool. I really, my whole idea was go to Dave and do he's gonna like it because he's very critical.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me so many inputs and I really, really want to impress him. And I spent so much time, you know what I mean, in the studio with him, listening to his tracks. I see what he's download, what he's listening. And my idea was first to impress him because the whole work was my tribute and to symbolize and recognize his work, you know what I mean, him as a be iconic person and the radio.
Yeah.
That was my whole goal in the beginning.
And what do you think you created? What will the impact on radio sound and branding be by this Dave Fox signature?
You know what? The impact, you know, is like, I think so. It sounds very modern and edgy, but it's very hard to me judge this thing. It's definitely nothing what I hear right now and other production libraries and the demos.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically, be honest with you, when I start this thing, I wasn't using any resample of any of my old stuff. I creating start everything from scratch. I get myself brand new instruments, brand new gear. Everything was starting from the beginning. I developed myself new mastering process. Everything was brand new for this thing.
A lot of it is very musical. And I know that you're a musician. We've established that,
yes.
You know, drummer. But I guess is it original? Because if you weren't a musician, if you didn't have the skills that you have on that side of things, would you have even been able to come close to producing what you've done?
I don't think so. You gotta have musical background, and you know what? It's basically it's come again. You know, you understand the market. You see people. What's making people happy when you go to the concert? You see when people are bouncing, you know, when the body's starting moving, how they feel the groove, when they're singing, you know, see their faces expression. Based on this thing, you analyze what people like, which song is like the most playing song. You have to incorporate after this sounds and your production library because this is what people like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the way I heard it is, you know, I don't know if everyone would agree, but I can definitely say you'd have to agree that someone is trying to evolve, you know, the way we brand radio stations, especially I would say it leans CHR. You'd have to at least say that.
Yeah.
So, is it your opinion? Do you think that you are, you know, maybe taking, like, with this project, the next step in the way radio stations are going to sound? Is that a goal of yours, you know, to kind of find the future and bring it to us?
Oh, you know what? As a sound designer, not only me, but all of us, you know what I mean, who's creating any of the sounds library is looking for something like this and want to be the person who will be bring the next big sound, you know what I mean? And everybody wants this thing. If I'm the person right now and people are going to take this as a success and it's work, it's great. But if not, you know, it's not going to stop me to creating something else. So it's really hard to me say if I'm the one who bring different sound, you know, I definitely bring different sound. But now if people is going to like it, if the PD is going to accept and if it's work, it's going to be great. I know it's already on Z100 and Dave is using all the time. So works over there.
Right. That's a pretty good start.
Yeah, it is good. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? It's so many young, talented producers, you know, who they're not sleeping and they have their own vision. I will be more than happy to see this thing is growing and going to other people. But I really don't know in this moment. But I have a kind of feeling that it's going to go.
Yeah, I personally think I really like it. Obviously, I really like it. But
thank you.
I think it sounds. Let's see here. I'll hear a new product at least once a month minimum. Sometimes I'll get four or five in a month, and then I'll go a couple months. But and man, there's some people out there producing some really good stuff. But it's very rare that you hear something that you can really say, "Wow, I don't think I've ever heard anything even close to that before." You know, and you get a completely different feeling. And I think that that's what I got from your stuff. And I haven't felt that way about
thank you.
a service in a while.
You know what? Be honest with you. That was the first Dave reaction when he heard the stuff too. Actually, his first words was, wow.
It should do that. And you know what? Let's be honest. The service isn't going to be for everybody. You know, there are like, my main gig is here at a country station. I simply can't use it on a country station because it's so advanced and it's so specific. But then again, there's some people that are going to, I mean, they should, I think, just dive right on it. Because if you want to be first, especially if you're in a competitive CHR market, I think it would behoove you to get on something like that because it sounds like the future, which, you know, a lot of formats, that's what they want to do.
You know what? I kind of like hate comparing myself to anyone else, but I remember the whole evolution when I was like doing Geek and Kiss. And first time when I was introduced to Jeff Thomas Kilohertz, I was like dropping my jaw, like, wow.
Yeah, no, that's exactly, you know, Kilohertz to me, you know, I wasn't even in this game when he first released.
That was milestone to me when I listened to this stuff. I said, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, that sounded like the future. That sounded like, you know, that was something that you had never heard anything like. And you're like, wow, you know, that's what the future sounds like. You know, there's been, like I said, a lot of good products, but nothing that sounded like the future.
Wow, so, thank you. You call me alien.
Yeah, I would. And again, I don't know who's going to use it, but I think there should be a lot of people that would be excited about it. But before we go off on too many tangents, I did want to ask you about Stutter Edit because I was really interested in that plugin at least a year, if not more, before it came out.
Yeah.
Obviously, BT released Sonify, which gave you a little taste of what Stutter Edit could do.
Yeah.
And then I got the plugin. I love tinkering with it. I'm not the best at it. I haven't had a lot of time, but you really applied it in this Dave Fox signature stuff. Tell me about it, how you used it, and what you think of it.
You know what? That's the trick. It's a great plugin. But if you are not a musician, forget about using.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to really feel the beat because the whole effects of the stutter is you write perfect on the beat. Otherwise, it's just not locking and it sounds glitchy, weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's come very handy for me to be drummer and using this thing. Plus, when I was on the name show this year, you know, like I have a chance, you know, meet BT and having a little conversation with him and spend a little time with him next to the plugin and show me kind of stuff. And that was kind of interesting. And that's what gave me advantage when I get home, jump and this thing right away and know what to do. The really fun stunning when you're stunning making your own presets over there. The way how you hear, because let's be honest, the plugin is made for the musician. I make the plugin for like DJs. I make the plugin adjust him by making my custom presets to Robert Dusik production, to radio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I approach so many plugins. When I get Guitar Rig or like any other things, or Reactor, what's actually the virtual instruments, I customize them, change the envelopes, filters, and make them friendly for the radio use.
Okay, cool. Well, anyway, I like the way you used it. And
thank you.
I think it's a good example of how you can use Stutter Edit properly.
Yeah, it's obviously very easy to overuse, you know what I mean? But yeah, that was the whole thing. Yes. Taste. Give the people, you know what I mean, to chance to using the BT flavor stuff and the production radio way. So I was trying to design the elements to make people enough cool work parts so they can tweak and make the production very interesting.
Let's talk about competition in the barter service game. I've noticed in the last few years, quite a few services have come about. They seem to be adding a lot more than are going away. How does that affect your business? How does that affect you? Or, you know, does the cream rise to the top and it really doesn't matter who wants to challenge you?
You know what? Yes, there's a lot of competition coming, you know what I mean? But when I was coming, you know, to this business, there was other people too, and they think about me as a competition. And it's something what we just have to deal with and try to do the best product you can. You know what I mean? It's like not worry about the competition, because if I was starting to worry about the competition, I would probably get heart attack. I will be not creative anymore because I will be stressed. You know what I mean? I love what I'm doing, and I really enjoy, you know what I mean? And how I say, that was more easy to me get where I am today than actually keep myself stay in this position, not going down.
We already brought up the future, especially, you know, with the release of the Dave Fox Signature stuff. I just want to know from your opinion, though, since you've been designing sound for radio for a long time now, either fast forward 5, maybe even 10 years, do you have thoughts on what radio will sound like? Have you ever given a thought, thought to the more distant future, you know, not to tomorrow or in the next few months, but 5-10 years from now, what things will sound like?
You know what? Be honest with you, we stay gonna have radio. And the radio stay gonna sound like it sounds today. We're gonna use probably different patches of the keyboards, different effects, different elements. But it stay gonna be sounds what stay today. People love listen to radio on the drive in the car. You can't force people to go buy satellite or anything and spend, and they're gonna buy brand new car and they have new stereo system in the car. They wanna listen to radio, they wanna listen to Logo News, they wanna listen to Top 40 CHR station. We've been already in the fear of iPods, you know what I mean? Like about 7 years ago, everybody's gonna listen to iPod. Look at this, iPod is out, you know what I mean? Fine. People back to radio, you know what I mean? People was worried about like internet radio, internet's gonna take over everything. Look at this, it's like radio ratings right now is going up, revenue, everything. Everything is backing.
Mm-hmm.
I really not worry, you know what I mean? We're maybe gonna have better quality radio, the service maybe is gonna be better, but I really believe everything is gonna back to the basing because people wanna hear the real thing. People's gonna be tired of all like syndications and other stuff.
As far as the radio imaging itself goes, you know, do you have any thoughts on, you know, be a futurist. Do you have any thoughts on what it might sound like in 5 or 10 years? I mean, you know, more jingles, less jingles, more musical, more, maybe it'll be more simple, more simplistic imaging. You know, what will the voices sound like?
Well, you know, we all humans, we all have the same voice. Right? It's going to be like new cool filters in the voice, but it depends on the format. You know what I mean? Which format, which music is going to be hot. If you look in the circle 10 years ago, you know, there was like Britney Spears, Spice Girls, and Backstreet Boys, and NSYNC. If mm-hmm. you look the circle right now, we have almost the same situation when the pop music is right on top of the charts right now.
Yeah, that circle, that pop circle, that, I mean,
the
CHR.
And if you look
circle,
again, yeah. Example, person like Max Martin, the guy who produced NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, and whatever, Britney. Right now, he's the guy behind like Katy Perry and Britney again. And anything what's coming out is the same people come back. So the same sounds, just a new process. So I know things are going to much change. You know, the new generation is going to come in 10 years. And I don't see much difference. You know, am I going to get better speakers in the car, you know?
Yeah, that's an answer. I like it. I got to mention a contest you have rolling.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this contest. It sounds pretty darn cool.
Yeah, so yesterday, starting the promoting the new Dave Fox Signature, we launched our contest, what's open to all Trinity Register users. And basically the whole idea of the concept was like, you not only win like all like the sweet bundles from PSP Audio with all the plugins what I'm using and Dave's using, but for a lot of people, consider this contest as an addition for your next job. Because you never know who's going to hear your work, and business will buy recommendations. And today's days, a lot of PDs, you know, downloading this stuff, a lot of people listen this stuff. And if they like it, you never know who's going to contact you, who's going to call you after too.
That sounds great. TrinityHDFX.com is the info right there.
Yes.
You know, for people who have the, you know, the service, they can find it right there.
Yeah, but it's only open to registered users.
Okay. So if you want to get involved in this, you got to get the service. If you have the service and you're listening, well, hopefully you already know about it. But if not, get over there to the website, TrinityHDFX.com.
Yes.
Hey, Robert, excellent. This has been really informative. I knew I was going to be able to drag a ton of information out of you, and I did. So it's good. Real quick, leave us with one final thought for the young up-and-coming producers of the world. Maybe they want to do sound design. Maybe they want to image radio stations. What's the one key piece of advice you would give them?
You know what? If you're getting for this business, whatever you're doing, never think about this is your job. Think about how much fun you have. And long as you're going to enjoy what you're doing, you will have fun. You will be always on top of the game and you will be very creative. The moment when you're going to start thinking this is your job and you hate it, leave the business because you're just going to waste your time.
Excellent. Thank you, Robert Dudzik. It's Robert, DUDZIC.com. That's the main website
yes.
for you. TrinityHDFX.com, TrinityHDFX.com. And there you go. Robert, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Going to wrap it up here. Thanks again to Robert. I think he was an interesting guest for sure. He had a little bit of a different insight than the last few in that he produces the stuff that we use to produce the stuff that the listeners hear. I will make one more mention on the website, RyanOnTheRadio.com. You'll see, a big media photo gallery from Robert. He submitted a whole bunch of cool photos of his studio, of him creating the sounds that he uses in the effects, also some screen grabs from a session and a bunch of his plugins, which are usually pretty popular. People like to kind of see the settings that these guys are using, myself included. I like to see their settings. I think that's really all I got. The two contests that I mentioned in the front of part one, you've got Robert's contest with Trinity HD Effects and then Joe D'Agostine's contest. You can check out that link on the blog on my website. Joe will be the next guest. We'll talk about his relatively brand new product, iDeFi, which also might have another name. I'm not too in on the logistics, but we'll find out all about that coming up. Just remember, if you've got anything to report, hit me up. Contact page on the website. Otherwise, I hope everybody is good, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.